Hi, my name is Jamie Betcher. I'm one of the lay speakers here at Crosswinds United Methodist Church, and I am honored to be bringing the message to you today. We're in the middle of our sermon series on the book of Genesis, a book about new beginnings. And today we're coming to the story of Noah and the Ark, Noah and the Great Flood. It's primarily found in Genesis from chapters 6 through 9. When you think about Noah and the Ark, I often see two very contrasting stories out in the world today. On one hand, we hear about Noah and the Ark in very simple terms. It's often used as a children's narrative. It's a popular Bible story for kids. There are a lot of figurines with Noah and his Ark, little pictures of Noah standing on a boat, smiling with all these cute animals around him. It's primarily a G-rated type of story. Then in contrast, we see something like about 7 years ago, there was a blockbuster movie out called Noah that had Russell Crowe starring as the main character, and it tells a much darker, deeper type of interpretation of the story. Now, that grossed over $350 million at the box office, but it was rated PG-13, so it was very much not suitable for our kids under 13. So, the basic facts of the story, whether you read those children's stories or watch those movies, you really want to turn to your scripture to find the true story, again, in chapters 6 through 9. But I'm going to summarize just briefly here today that story, and that is that we've heard in the last 2 weeks about God's creation, how he created the world and it was good, how Adam and Eve were created and they were good, but then we had this fall that happened, or this event that happened that Christina talked about last week. And so now we jump to chapter 6, and God has come to a place in creation where he's become grieved about the corruption that has happened in the world. The people have become evil and corrupt, and God's wrath stirs up in him, and he starts to be angry and grieved about his creation, makes a decision that he is going to destroy this creation that he so carefully put together. But then he saw Noah, and Noah was known to be a righteous man. If you read in the scripture, it describes him as a man who walked with God, who had favor in God's eyes. So God decides he's going to save Noah, Noah's immediate family, and pairs of all the animals, put them on this ark, and then flood the earth. And basically what we have here is a recreation story that's going to begin with Noah and his family and the animals after the flood. At the end of all that, at the end of the flood, God creates his first sort of promise with his people, his first covenant, where he says that he will never again destroy the earth with the flood. And he signs that agreement, that covenant, with a rainbow. Now that's a big story that I just summarized in, you know, just a minute here. From God's decision to the flooding to the building of the ark. And so today what I want to really just focus down into a little bit of that story right in the middle. It's the story that I just read shortly ago that was in chapter 7, verses 11 to 20. And particularly verses 17 through 20, I'm not sure if you picked up on that, but if you go back to those verses, they all talked about how the waters rose, the waters increased, the waters continued to rise. It said that over and over again. But what you won't find in this scripture is any insight into how Noah and his family, or even the animals, were responding to that waters rising as they were in the ark. There's really no record of their reactions, their dialogue, their fears, you know, what prayers were they doing at the time. And it's hard to imagine, but I'm guessing that Noah wasn't really dancing around the ark like Gene Kelly, you know, and humming Singing in the Rain. I don't think it was like that. But how might it have been? What would you have done in that situation? What would you have done when the waters were rising? And what about now? You know, we often think we can't really relate Old Testament stories to real life, but if we just think of this as an analogy or metaphor, when your waters are rising in your life now, how do you respond? I think that we can all respond or relate a little differently today than maybe we could have before the pandemic. I know that as I went to reread this story now in preparation for this message, after going through the pandemic, I had a lot more compassion and relatability to Noah and his family about what it was like to quarantine in that boat with just your family, had to stock up in supplies, and then sit there and wonder when it was all going to end. I didn't look at that scripture the same way 2 years ago. Now, as I was preparing for this message today, in these past couple of weeks, we spent a weekend at the cabin with my family, and my mother-in-law was visiting with us. And we were playing a board game called Forbidden Island. So for those of you who might not know about this board game, it's a cooperative strategy survival game where all the players have to work together to obtain these treasures on our island, and then we have to escape it before the island floods. So we have to work together before it floods. And as each player takes their turn, they have to draw cards. And one of the cards that might happen in that deck is an undesirable card that's called Water Rises! Exclamation point. Now, each time you draw one of these cards, the flood risk increases, and you're more in danger of losing the game. So as we were playing this game recently, I started imagining Noah's experience with the waters rising and how that might relate to our lives today. I know that sometimes we wake up and we don't really realize the waters have been rising, and then we wake up one day and we're like, feel like we're swimming or maybe even drowning. But sometimes we can kind of see those clouds coming, those clouds forming, and we can sense that the waters are coming. We don't quite always know when we're going to draw a waters rise card. The school closes down suddenly and you have to learn how to do virtual learning. That's like drawing a waters rise card. Or maybe you draw a waters rise card when an elderly parent receives a difficult medical diagnosis. Or maybe when a coworker leaves right in the middle of a big project with a tight deadline, you've drawn a waters rise card. Now, remember on the very first verse in the scripture we're reading today talked about how the springs of the great deep burst forth and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. So you notice the flood was actually supported from underground and from above ground. And some people consider the great flood was a result of both God's wrath and his sorrow. Perhaps his wrath is what was bubbling up from the underworld, and his sorrow, his grief, is what was streaming down from the heavens. And for us, the waters rising can feel the same way, like it's coming from beneath us, like the rug is literally being ripped out from underneath our feet. But sometimes it feels definitely like it's coming from above, pouring down, kind of creating this heaviness or this darkness or this cloud over our lives. Now, in Noah's story, if you read chapter 6, you'll read about how God told Noah about the forthcoming flood. God actually told Noah very specifically what to do to prepare, how to build the ark, how to gather the animals. God gave Noah a very steadfast purpose of how to prepare and what to do about these animals. John Wesley, our Methodist founder, recorded in his Bible commentary about this that same hand, God's hand, that at first brought these animals to Adam to be named, is now bringing them to Noah to be preserved. I like that imagery. But I think that sometimes we think it would be easier if God did the same for us, so that's kind of what we expect God to do or hope that he would do, that he would tell us exactly when the waters were going to rise, specifically how we should prepare for them, you know, give us a sense of purpose during these waters rising, you know, to keep us grounded. And I don't know that he is always like that, that he isn't as specific and clear with us as he was with Noah. But there is one thing that we do know, Jesus tells us in John 16:33, that in this world you will have trouble. So I'm going to translate that to, in this world you are going to draw water rises cards. It's not about if, it's about when. But in that same verse, Jesus tells us, take heart, I have overcome the world. What does that mean, take heart? Take heart means have faith. Take heart, have faith. And waters rising really do test our faith. I'm not saying God causes these events. He doesn't send the water to be rising in order to test our faith. I'm just saying that when these events happen, our faith is definitely tested. And when our faith is tested, that is what causes it to grow and expand and mature and deeper trust with God than we might have ever thought possible. Faith is really trusting that God is already at work making those preparations for us, maybe bringing people and resources into our lives, giving us purpose so that we will be prepared and we will have what we need when the waters rise. Now, Noah is also mentioned in the New Testament. We can find his name again in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11 specifically, the very first verse reminds us what faith is. That faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And Noah was considered a man of faith in action. And so he's included in Hebrews chapter 11, which recounts a long list of faith heroes, like Abraham, Moses, and Rahab. And in verse 7 says that by faith, Noah, when warned about these things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. So what faith it took for Noah to build that ark? There wasn't a cloud in the sky, yet he trusts God's word, he obeyed his command, and he starts building for a flood that isn't actually going to arrive anytime soon. You know, what faith it took for Noah to actually enter into that ark, to bring his family and those animals into that ark and let God shut him in. There wasn't really a clear picture of what was going to come, nor how long this ark was going to be his home, which turns out to be nearly a year. Noah just walks into the ark thinking about it being God's protection. He walks in with confidence. Noah's faith sees that shutting in of the door, that shutting of the door as a demonstration of God's tender care. So faith is really knowing the waters will rise and believing that God is with us, he's preparing the way for us, he will not leave us or forsake us. And because of that, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. When I say that, I'm reminded of a song. It's a Christian contemporary song that just came out April last year, 2020, right when we were in that heart of the first quarantine in the U.S. here in the pandemic. There was a contemporary Christian song done by Tasha Layton, and the song is actually called Into the Sea, but it's one of those songs that has an alternative title in parentheses next to it that says, it's going to be okay. So, into the sea, it's going to be okay. Now, I can't think of really a better theme song for Noah's Ark than that one, much better than Singing in the Rain. Into the ark, or into the sea, it's going to be okay. Now, Tasha's song isn't based on Noah's story. It's actually based on Psalm 46, which you can look up later. But the lyrics of the chorus really are pulled from Psalm 46. And the lyrics of the chorus go like this. Though the mountains may be moved into the sea, though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me, it's gonna be okay. Now, this is really more of that song. I can envision Noah kind of humming around the ark as he's maybe cleaning up after the animals. So let me pull this all together with a little testimony. I want to tell about a recent experience I had about drawing a Waters Rise card. Not when I was playing the game, but in a different context. So recently I was in for my doctor's, regular doctor's appointment, and the doctor suggested that for a preventative measure related to a heart defect that I was born in, that it was time for me to have an MRI done, to check on the status of that. And it felt a little bit like I was given a Waters Rise card that day. I've never had an MRI done. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I was feeling a little nervous about what the results would say. Even though this was a preventative type of test, there was still the sense of the waters rising about me. So I went to the doctor. I went to my appointment for the MRI that day, laid down on the table, and was getting ready to go into the tube. And they put the headphones on me, and they'd asked me if what kind of Pandora station I'd like to listen to. And I said, Christian, please, I really need that. So they put the headphones on me, and as they started pushing me into the tube and turned on my headphones, can you guess what song was playing right then and there? Yeah, it was Tasha Layton's song, Into the Sea, You're Gonna Be Okay. And immediately I thought of Noah's story, which I had been studying, and as they were pushing me into the tunnel, it reframed my experience right then and there. My faith kicked into action instead of my fear. I heard that song, that was Jesus whispering to me to take heart, and as they pushed me into the tube, I considered it was God's gentle care that was shedding me in that moment. That's what faith in action looks like to me. That then at that moment, I knew regardless of how long I was going to have to lay there, regardless of the test results, I was going to be okay. I have a God who loves and cares for me, who sent my Savior to me, who has told me that to take heart, that he has overcome the world, and because of that, I have nothing to fear. So that is faith, my friends, and I just pray that when you draw your next Waters Rise card, that you'll take that deep breath, that you'll lean into your faith, and that you'll let God tenderly shut you in to his protection. You're going to be okay. Amen.